This morning, I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Titus chapter 2 with me. Titus chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 11 through 15 of that chapter. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. Proclaim these things, encourage and rebuke with all authority, let no one disregard you. Will it be, as day is dawning and the world with beauty wakes, when we feel and breathe the sweetness of the morning as it breaks? Will it be perhaps at noontime, as we work and life runs high, while the sun's brightest banner shines forth in midday sky? Will it be in fading twilight, when the day its course has run, that he'll send to us as herald heaven's orb the setting sun? Be it morning, noon, or evening, neither day nor hour we know. Only let us all be ready when he comes with him to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26 tells us that when we observe the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In the past several months, on some of our communion Sundays, we have looked at the participation in his body, the recollection of his body, and the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. This morning, I would like for us to look ahead with expectation. The second coming of Christ is not out of place at the communion table. We are able to remember his death in this way until he comes again. In our scripture reading this morning in Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says that we are to wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are waiting for his glory to appear. Well, what does this word glory mean? Well, it means lots of things. It means honorable, precious, delightful, full of splendor, bright, magnificent, excellent, majestic, full of dignity. We will see all of that and more when he comes for us. We can take all of the grandeur and glory and excitement of an entire lifetime, all the things, the excitement of your wedding day, the excitement of going to Disney World, the excitement of graduating from high school or college, the excitement of your first kiss, the excitement of whatever. Take all of the excitement of your life and pack it all into one moment and then multiply that by 100. And even then, our imagination cannot come close to equaling what it will be when we see the glory of his appearing. Does that ever excite you when you think about the fact that Jesus promised to come back one day? He promised us a resurrection day. That ought to be something that just thrills us, something that we look forward to with great expectation. Jesus himself promised this to us. His promise is so sure that he sovereignly saw to it that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three, recorded the same statement that he made. In all three of those gospels, you can find this statement by Jesus. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. This is the hope of all believers. There's lots of different views of the end times. Believers have different views of how things will happen. And sometimes we can even get into arguments and so forth, and we stand with conviction where we stand. but ultimately what we are all looking forward to, every true believer on this planet is looking forward to, the return of Jesus Christ. He will come for all of his children, and he will call all of us home. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17, I hope these are familiar verses to you. They tell us, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. If you have been born again by the grace and power of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can be sure that you will be a part of the glorious event when Jesus comes and calls you home. Not only will Jesus, his appearing, be glorious, but there are some other aspects to this glory I'd like for us to examine this morning. His clothing will be glorious. In Matthew chapter 17, we read, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and his brother John, and he led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured in front of them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. We call this experience the transfiguration. And what that was a foreshadowing of when Jesus would come to rule and to reign on the earth. And he would do so in great glory and majesty. His glory in that transfiguration was a foreshadowing for those disciples of what we will all see as Jesus reigns. It will be so complete that even his clothing that he wears will shine with the incredible brightness of his glory. It will be an all-encompassing glory. Also, his name will be glorious. Isaiah chapter 9 says, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." And then if we go to Revelation chapter 19, we read these words, "And he has a name written on his robe and on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." No one else is deserving of these names and these titles that are given to Jesus Christ alone. Only this one who is the creator of all things, the one who loved us so much that he came to this earth, he took on human flesh and he became our perfect substitute. The one who is coming again to rule with perfect peace and justice. Won't that be nice? We don't have peace and justice in a perfect way in our world today. What we see are wars and rumors of wars all around the world all the time, don't we? But Jesus will come and he will rule with a perfect peace. He alone is worthy of glorious and majestic names. His body will be glorious. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself." Ever since his resurrection, Jesus has had a glorified body, a body that's incorruptible, it's everlasting. Diseases and dangers of this world do not affect Jesus. We have the hope, we have the promise that one day we will put on bodies that are like his glorious body. Amen? This corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Not only will Jesus be glorious, but his bride will be glorious. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27 say this, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word, He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. Just as every husband should want his wife to be a pure and faithful wife, so we should recognize that Christ as the bridegroom wants us as the bride, the church, to be faithful and to be pure. It is so that we can be a glorious bride without blemish when we stand before him. So how can we be that? How can we be that pure and blameless and glorious bride? By the power of the Holy Spirit cleansing us and working in us to present us to him. That's a lot of glory, isn't it? There's one more, though. We're not done. Jesus, in everything that he is, and even everything that he wears, is glorious. And he wants us to be glorious, and he will present us to himself glorious. And there's one final one. His rest will be glorious. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10 says, "On that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will look to him for guidance, and his resting place will be glorious." In the book of Hebrews, we read a lot about God's rest. A couple of things from the book of Hebrews. It says, "For we who have believed enter into rest." And another place it says, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest." Anybody here this morning exhausted? Worn out? Sometimes life comes down on us hard, and we say, "I just need some rest." Well, guess what? There's a day coming when Christ returns for us that he will invite us into his rest, and we will have perfect rest, and we will rest in him and be in him for eternity. Even the work that he will have for us to do in eternity will not be laborious to us. It will not wear us out. We will do that work for his glory in his perfect rest. Why is God's rest glorious? It's a permanent rest. When this life is over, we go to be with him, and we are with him for all of eternity. Let me remind you this morning, you are immortal. Right now, you're wearing mortality, but the mortality that you're wearing is going to give way to immortality at the return of Christ. We will put on glorious bodies like his glorious body. There's no one that you've ever met as you've gone through life that's a mere mortal. You encounter other people, you're encountering other immortal beings who will either spend eternity with Christ or apart from Christ. May we be ambassadors for Christ, calling people to him so that they can spend eternity with him. As we partake of these elements this morning, don't just look at the sacrifice that he gave, the sacrifice that's represented in the bread and the cup. Look also to the glorious second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Father in heaven, I thank you for the promises that you give us. I thank you that Jesus gave that clear promise before he ascended, that he would come back. Just as he ascended into heaven, he will return. And we have our own resurrection day to look forward to. That where he is, there we may be also for all of eternity. We thank you and praise you for this glorious hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen.